So let's talk about names. I don't particularly like my name. Gordon Stewart Wiersma. I don't know. This is not what I would call a grand or poetic or compelling name. I was at the symphony a week ago, and the guitar player was Pablo Villegas. Now that's a name. And he had the hair and the smile to match, right? Now, I'm not looking for sympathy or affirmation. Oh, Gordon, your name is fine. We love you. I'm all right. I've made peace with my name. I just know that there was never a chance for a Gordon Stewart Jr. It just never was going to happen. How are you with your name? Is it a family name named for, named after an alliterative name? You know, we do have Kevin, Kim, Kelly, Kyle Kelly and Corey Rosenau here in this church, right? All with K's, right? Some families, not Crosenau, but they didn't quite pull it off there. Somebody gave you your name. Isn't that an interesting thing? You could change it, but very few people do. You were given your name. It's what you got. It's who you are. If you are a parent, then you get to give a name to someone. It's quite a power to name someone. What's your name? It's a foundational way that we connect with and tell people who we are and know who other people are. And then there's what people do with names, right? For me, it was always Wiersma, right? Yeah, very clever. Isn't that funny? Yeah. If you hadn't thought about that, now you have it, right? Wiersma. That's what it always was. And if I pointed out that weird wasn't spelled the right way that way, I think that just made it even more geeky that I was weird. And my doctor of ministry class last week, one of my colleagues introduced herself this way. My name is Lasagna Michelle, but don't call me Lasagna because growing up kids called me Lasagna, so call me Michelle. Now she was a grown-up, very mature, she was a wonderful person, but don't call her Lasagna. She wants to go by Michelle. Names are powerful. They make a difference to us, which turns us from names to name calling. We've all had it done to us, and we've all done it, playing with or teasing or being cruel with names. It's a thread, unfortunately, that connects all generations. And whether you had a name ripe for name calling or not, there is, too, a kind of name calling that happens regardless of name. The labels and digs, sometimes blessings, more often curses, the stereotypes with which people, persons or peoples can be painted. There can be a more pleasant side, the nice one, the smart one, the pretty one, the good one, although those carry their own baggage at times. But more often, name calling is meant to tear down. Kids know the label, the cruelty of labeling the stupid one or the fat one or the needy one or the awkward one. And the name calling of race and class and religion and culture, that's something that grown-ups have their own affinity for, spanning through the generations. So many names, from the innocent to the insidious. So many names that we have for one another. Conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, citizen, immigrant, illegal, convict, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Middle Eastern, straight, gay, bisexual, Christian, Muslim, Jew, atheist. But now brace yourself, because we also use the names nigger, spick, honky, chink, spook, faggot, kike, towelhead, fundy. I know, there's no need to go further, but I wanted us to feel some of the harshness of those words. There are entire databases dedicated to the documentation of racial and religious and ethnic slurs over the ages. That is the capacity of human name-calling that we have within ourselves. It's stunning. And whether it is inflammatory or not, we use those labels to identify, to organize and divide and designate and denigrate and determine who someone is. I name you as this. You name me. Asserting the power to tell you, tell me, others, who they are. So with all that, let's talk about names in Isaiah 62. It's what it's all about. God says, the prophet says, you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. And God says, you've been called some names. You've been called forsaken. You've been called desolate. But that is not your true name. I name you my delight. I call you married. That is your name. At this crucial juncture in Israel's story, the word from the Lord is about names. Names are always important in Scripture, especially when a name is changed. Maybe you know some of those stories. Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah. Jacob to Israel, Saul to Paul. It's a way of expressing in a story that an identity has been fundamentally claimed, named by God in a transforming way. And now, the word of God to Israel has been given in a new way. It's not that God has not used other names for Israel. There have been terms of judgment and justice too. But what happens here is that God says that at the heart of who these people are, the true name God speaks for this people is my delight, married. They are names that express the abiding love, the covenant relationship of wholeness and security that God assures God's people of. It seems to me that I hear a lot of name calling in our world today. A lot of names thrown at one person at another, from one group at another, from one religion at another, from one church at another, from one nation at another. Names thrown as weapons that seek to claim who or what someone is in a way that divides and denigrates, that designates and determines. So with all the name-calling going on, I figure if you can't beat them, join them. Let's do some name-calling of our own today. But what if we do it in a way that puts name and calling together? Names are important. So what if we say that name-calling has to do with the names that embody our calling from God? And what if we start name-calling with this rule, that the only names that count are the names that God gives? God is the creator, and ultimately only God names and claims God's creation and God's creatures as they truly are. So let's start the name calling with ourselves. How do you speak of, how do you think of, how do you name yourself inside yourself? I know there's many names we have, some too lofty at times, I'm sure, but some diminishing ones too. Some that write ourselves off as less than or unworthy. How do you speak of? How do you think of? How do you name yourself? Well, what is God's name for you? Isaiah 62 says, God's name for you is my delight. It's powerful to be found delightful. Do you think of yourself as delightful? The thing is, it doesn't matter, because God does. You could disagree with God, but it doesn't change the name God gives to you. You are my delight, God says. Think about that. Feel that. To hear from God, I name you my delight. 1 Corinthians 12 has a name for you. It says gifted. It says, gifted is your name, that you are gifted to build up and serve others. God's gifted delight. It's not a bad name. That's your name. And here's what I believe, that the names you believe deep in yourself are the names that you will be willing to give to others too. For each of us to be named and renamed by our Creator, with delighted, gifted child of God, that opens us to see God naming others around us in the same way. And I want to be clear that in case anyone is concerned, I don't know if you are, this isn't just meant as a feel-good self-esteem booster for the day. If that is what you need, that's good. But it's not meant to push aside difficulties or to avoid justice and truth-telling. No, this is a word from our Creator that as we face the brokenness of our lives and our world, of violence and suffering, of division and conflict, that as we do so, there are certain names we will not use. Names like enemy. Names like other. Names like expendable. There is a farm in Palestine called the Tent of Nations, where a family there is seeking justice as the government tries to take their land that is rightfully theirs. Incredible cruelty has been done to this family, and they have a slogan. The slogan is, "We refuse to be enemies." Isn't that powerful? You see, there are certain names that God did not create, and so we are not to use. At the crux of our calling is the kind of name-calling that we do, the kind of name-calling that comes from our Creator, from our God. I don't know, I think it's kind of a joyful subversion to think about Christian name-calling, isn't it? A name-calling that goes like this: God delights in you, in me, in you. God delights in this world. God is married to it. God will not leave this world or you or me alone. It's our shared name from God. Dr. King had a way of expressing that name, that calling that God speaks to us. He called it beloved community. It's a name for how God made us to live, Dr. King said. Now, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was all too familiar with name-calling. He was called names, troublemaker and communist and traitor and nigger and heretic and radical and enemy, and that's just a start, and those aren't the worst. But Martin knew his true name. He knew that his name was beloved of God. Dr. King knew his true name from God, no matter the circumstance, no matter the struggle, the sorrow, or the uncertainty, no matter if he felt like his name was forsaken or desolate, because he was held by a true name. My delight, beloved. Because that name was from God. That was the name God gave to him, and it was sealed to him by his living Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew that name belonged to him, was him, which allowed him to see that it was the name God gave him to see others with as well. Beloved. Dr. King refused to see others as enemy because he knew they were children of God in whom God delighted. Dr. King refused to accept division as inevitable because he knew that God had made this world for beloved community, for shalom, the true peace that is the calling that God made this world, God created this world for. Which leads me to simply say this day that we are to carry with us the name calling of our Creator. What's your name? God's delight, gifted, beloved. It's who you are. What's our name? Beloved community, that's who God has made us together to be. Who is around you? The people that we see, they too are ones in whom God delights. They too are God's beloved. What is this world? It is a place created for beloved community. It is a place in which God's peace, God's shalom is at work, where the Spirit of Christ is building beloved community. Those are the names from God that cannot be taken from us, and we're given them to tell to others. So, let the name calling begin.